Let us take the Word of God this morning. We will go to 2 Samuel chapter number 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14, and I'm praying that God would use this message. I had to chuckle just a little bit because as the Lord gave me this message this week and the title, I thought to myself, I don't think this would be a good idea to preach next Sunday when we have farmers here, because today I'm going to preach on this subject. When God burns your barley field, all right? I don't think that would work good. Can you imagine us bringing farmers here and saying, when God burns up your field, you know? And so, but today as we come to 2 Samuel 14, we know where we're at in our studies. Absalom has killed Amnon. We know what Amnon did to his sister Tamar. He committed an immoral act against her, violated her in a very wrong way. And the Bible says that Absalom did not even speak to him. He didn't even talk to Amnon. In fact, if King David had done what he should have done and executed judgment upon him, righteous judgment, biblical judgment, then maybe Absalom would have never killed his brother. But you know the story. You know Absalom carried this bitterness in his heart. His daddy did nothing. No one did anything because Amnon has sinned against God. But he waited for the right opportunity. He had his servants and they put Amnon to death for what he had done to his sister Tamar. Well, the Bible tells us at the end of 2 Samuel chapter 13 that Absalom fled. He went back 80 miles to where he was from. You see, David, in David's bureaucracy as a good politician, David had married daughters from other kings of other nations, giving peace to their nation. It was considered wise in the world standard, but David had broken God's commandments. David had been told by God not to multiply wives, but he did instead. So Absalom fled back to Geshur. And there he could be with his grandparents, and there, no doubt, he could find comfort and solace from, no doubt, the wrath of his own father, King David. But as time went on, David yearned for his son. Now, we're not going to read all of chapter 14, because what we find happen is Joab discerns that David wants to bring Absalom back. Why did he not bring him back? I believe that David knew that Absalom needed to be dealt with. I believe that David thought that banishment was the greatest punishment that he could have. But David's heart yearned for his son. So Joab goes out and finds a woman actress. And she gets this woman, no doubt she pays her, to go to David and tell him a story. Much like what Joab did. Much like when Nathan the prophet did, when Nathan came and he stood and he said to David, "Thou art the man." Well, Joab puts the words in this lady's mouth. And she comes before David and she tells a story about two sons. And no doubt she is talking about David's two sons, Absalom and Amnon. Well, finally, the story goes that David tells Joab to go bring Absalom back home. But he had to stay on his own land, in his own house, and David would not even see his face. I personally believe, and God's Word does not tell us this, but I believe as I study God's Word, David was waiting for Absalom to repent of what he had done. But there was no repentance there. You see, David had a man murdered. David had taken another man's wife. And yet David repented before God. And God blessed him, even though judgment and condemnation would come. But then something happens. Here is Absalom. He's been back. He wants to see his father. In fact, the truth of the matter is, what Absalom really wants, he wants to be placed back in his position of honor and for everyone to see him, because we know that Absalom has a heart, that he wants to steal the heart of all the people. We'll find that later on. Well, Absalom calls for Joab. And the Bible says that Joab didn't even answer him. He calls again, and Joab does not answer him. So one day, Absalom says to his servants, "You see Joab's field out there, his field of barley. Go set it on fire, and I think it will get Joab's attention." Well, it got his attention. Well, brethren, I'm going to tell you something. There is a God in heaven who is nothing like Absalom. He is the perfect, righteous God. But in this story that we see here today, we see what God does in our lives to get our attention. Do you know that sometimes God burns up our barley field? Let's read it together. 2 Samuel chapter 14. Let's begin in verse number 23. And we will read down to the end of the chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse number 23. "So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. And the king said, 'Let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face.' So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. But in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he pulled his head, for it was at every year's end that he pulled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he pulled it. He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. And unto Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar." He literally named his daughter after the name of his sister. "She was a woman of a fair countenance. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have him sent to the king. But he would not come to him, and when he sent again the second time, he would not come." Verse 30, "Therefore he said unto his servants, 'See, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire.' And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house and said unto him, 'Wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire?' And Absalom answered Joab, 'Behold, I send unto thee, saying, Come hither, that I may send thee to the king, to say, Wherefore am I come from Geshur? It hath been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore let me see the king's face. And if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me.' So Joab came to the king and told him. And when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king. And the king kissed Absalom." Now I want you to know something, that in all of God's word is for our admonition. And when we see this wonderful story in the Bible, and really, in some ways, it is a humorous story. Here is Absalom, and we know his heart. We know really the ideal of him getting back to be around the king was so that people would honor him. He knew he was a handsome man. He knew that people loved him. In fact, so often people are more swayed by personality and outward appearances rather than by the heart. And the people, we will find out later on, that Absalom steals the kingdom from his own father. He stole the heart of the people, and he met a need in their life, all for the purpose of him becoming the king. Well, here is Absalom. He's in the house. He's been there for 2 years. In fact, he hasn't seen David's face now for 5 years, because for 3 years he was in banishment. He had run for his life, and so it's been 5 years. We can understand a little bit of Absalom wanting to see his father. And so he sends for Joab. Now, why did Joab not answer him? We don't know the answer to that. I would assume that Joab is a little fed up with Absalom. He's done a lot of things for him. He's tired of this, in some ways, this spoiled crown prince. And he does not even answer Absalom. And that kind of goads Absalom a little bit. So he sends another servant to get Joab's attention. And he brings him back. No word. He wants nothing to do with him. He will not talk to him whatsoever. And so then he goes to extreme measures. Now, we know that what Absalom did was wrong. It was sinful. he was definitely trying to manipulate Joab into doing something, and he sends his servants to set his field on fire. Now, can you see it? Can you see Absalom sitting in his home, wherever his home is? His field joins right up to Joab's field, and he tells his servants, well, he won't listen to me, so I'll get his attention, all right? When the sirens are blazing and the fire trucks come, then I'll have his attention, you know? And so he sends his servants out to set the field on fire. Now think about this. Joab, no doubt, had spent a lot of money on this field. No doubt he had spent time and effort, and servants had worked this field. No doubt it was a beautiful crop, and it was going to be worth a lot of money and resources. But Absalom goes and burns it to the ground. Then Joab comes, and he comes right to the house, and he knocks on the door, and he says, Absalom, what were you thinking? He said, now I've got your attention. Well, brethren, let me tell you this. There is a God in heaven who in many ways has to get your attention and my attention. There have been times in my life when God, in His love and in His care and in His sovereignty and in His wisdom, has burned up my barley field and brought me to my knees. Brethren, God does this in our lives. You say, well, Pastor, I don't understand this. Well, number one, I want you to notice today that when God burns your barley field, number one, He afflicts in tender love. You see, God calls for us oftentimes. He calls us. And by the way, God calls us in that still, small voice. God may call you during a service at church here at Grace Baptist. God may call you when you are reading your Bible. God may use circumstances in your life to try to awaken you to some sin in your life or to some need in your life or something that you are not being alert to. And God has to burn up our barley field to get our attention. Listen, God never wants to do that. It's never God's intention, but I believe that God calls and we do not listen and we do not heed and we think I'll answer God in another day. I'll get right with the Lord another day. I'll take care of things another day. He calls and calls, and much like what God did to Joab, He does to you and me. He afflicts us in tender love. Take your Bibles this morning and let's go to Psalm chapter 107. Psalm chapter 107, because I want to show you this. Now, please understand today, do not compare the character of Absalom to the character of our God. Do you know that in God's Word, many men and women are used as types of the Lord Jesus Christ? But every type of Christ, you know what? David is one of the greatest types of Christ. But was David a perfect man? Oh, no. Was David a man of God at all times? No. But David, we would say, was a wonderful type of Christ. But I would like to use this message, and I do not believe that I'm violating Scripture, to take this story that we find with Joab and Absalom and how that his barley field was burned to get his attention. God has burned up my barley field a time or two. God has used things to get my attention. I remember working with teenagers for 12 years in Illinois, and can I tell you something? I've seen where God has burned up a barley field on a young man or a young lady to awaken their attention. We had a young man in our youth group that God had called him, and he answered the call, but then he turned away from the call. He said, God called me to preach, and God wants me to be in the ministry, and God wants me to serve Him. And I said, wonderful, then live for Him and honor Him, but he turned away from the call, and God kept calling, and God kept calling. And then finally, one day, the young man had an accident and broke his ankle. He was a basketball player, and he enjoyed the sports and all of that. And I'm going to tell you something. God used that to awaken him. God burned his barley field, per se. I've known a man to end up in the hospital. They are away from God, and God has to burn up the barley field of their health, and God has to burn up the barley field with some sickness, and He has to afflict them in tender love and in tender care, because God is our Heavenly Father, and He loves us, and He cares for us as a father loves his own child. He does not discipline us as a judge that disciplines a criminal. God disciplines us in love and in tender love and in righteous love. He makes not one mistake. You see, brethren, there are times in your life and in my life when we do not heed the call of God. God calls and God calls and God deals with us, and God says, this is not right in your life, and you have unconfessed sin here, and you have an unresolved thing in your life here, and God deals with us and we do not answer the call, and finally God burns up a barley field. And then we say, oh God, I need to get right with you. Psalm 107, we're not going to read the whole chapter together, but this shows the story very clearly. Let's begin in Psalm 107 in verse number 1, and I want you to notice something here. The Bible says this, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, when He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in." And look what it says in verse 5. "Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." God burned a barley field. Look in verse 6. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." You could read this whole chapter here, and you're going to find one story after another of men and women alike who wandered away from God, and God in His love burned up their barley field. And He got their attention. Let's read on, because I love this chapter. Look in Psalm 107, and I want you to notice, if you would please, to verse number, let's start in verse number 21. Notice what it says. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof." Can I stop and say this? Has God brought the stormy wind to your life? He brought a storm. He burned up the barley field. Listen what it goes on to say. Verse 26. "They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh a storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven." Would you take in Bibles, go to Psalm chapter 119. You see, brethren, is it not so that when you and I do not go to our God willingly and voluntarily And we go to Him in prayer. We go to Him as we seek His face. We go to Him. If we do not, God, in His love for us and in His care for us, God says, I love you too much. I care for you too much. I see where you're heading. I see the destruction down on the path. And God says, I'm going to burn up the barley field. I'm going to send some trouble. I may send the fires of sickness to you. I may send the fire of loss to you. I may send the fire of bereavement, of trouble to you, because I love you and I care for you and I want to get your attention. How many people in this building here this morning would attest to God burning up a barley field in your life? You could say, Pastor, I know. I know what it took before I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know how God got my attention. I know what God did. And God did something in my life. And many times after that, Pastor, even as a Christian, I've wavered from God. And sometimes we don't even know how far we've gotten from God. Sometimes we don't even know how much we've gotten off course in our Christian life. And God, He acts in love. He afflicts us in love because He wants to bring us to Himself. That's the place where we need to be. Psalm 119, notice what the Bible says in verse number 67. Psalm 119, verse number 67. Notice what it says. The psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I was going astray. I was the sheep that had wandered from the shepherd, but now have I kept thy word. Look what it says in verse 71 of the same chapter. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You know something, when we are going through God's affliction in love, when we are going through that time of trouble and sorrow, when we are going through that time where we are weeping ourselves to sleep at night, when we are so troubled, it's almost like a wave that comes over you. You go to sleep at night, and when you wake up, the first thing you think about is that trouble or that sorrow that God has brought into your life. What is God doing to us? He is bringing us to the place to where we get on our face and say, oh God, I need you, Lord. And I haven't been praying like I should have been praying. And Lord, I've not been faithful to you as I should have been faithful. Lord, forgive me of my sin. You see what God is doing to us. He's burning up the barley field. He's getting our attention. Oh, it happens. You see, we neglect His house. We abandon His book. We release ourselves from all of our religious responsibilities. And God calls and we do not hear. And God calls and we do not hear. And by the way, God always calls in that still small voice, those soft tones of our Savior. But guess what? As a father or mother will do, they might say to a child who is disobeying, stop that now. Don't do that anymore. And that might be a soft tone. But if they continue to sin and disobey, the tone becomes louder. And the tone becomes harsher. And God has to at times burn up our barley field. You say, well, Pastor, that does not sound like a loving God. Oh, brethren, it is a loving God. If God did not love us, He would never afflict us on purpose. He afflicts us in love. I remember this years ago. I was talking with my pastor years ago, and I was talking with him. And I was trying to make a decision about something in my life. And he said to me, he said, Aaron, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I was in Paterson, New Jersey, where he pastored a church, and millions of people all around. God had blessed that church, and it was growing, and people are being saved, and he had dreams and visions for that ministry there. And a church from Knoxville, Tennessee, Powell, Tennessee, to be specific, had contacted him and said, we want you to be our pastor. And he told me, he said, Aaron, I didn't want to go. He said, I didn't want to go. There's millions of people around New York, and I didn't want anything to do with it. And he said, I prayed about it. I tried to be submissive about it, but I did not want to go. He said, until God put me in the hospital. He said, I was lying on my back in a hospital room. And the Lord whispered to me and said, now do I have your attention? You see, brethren, there is a God in heaven who knows. And by the way, if you know what God did with Pastor Sexton going to Powell, Tennessee, became my pastor, and what God has done. You see, God in love afflicted him. God in love touched his body. God in love did that. And there are times in life when God afflicts our family. He afflicts you. He brings about a loss of maybe a financial loss or whatever it may be. But God in love does it because God says, I've got a plan for you. And I love you, and I've created you for a purpose. I'm going to burn up the barley field. I didn't want to, but I love you so much that I want to get your attention. Brethren, do you know that there are not many times in our lives when God really has our attention? Have you ever spoken to your children and you said something to them and you know they did not hear you? Now, did they hear you physically? Sure, they heard you. But as we would say, it went in one ear and out the other, you know? Well, how often in your life and in my life has God dealt with us? God has in soft tones said, come. God has said, I want you to spend time in prayer with me. God has said, I want you to yield yourself unto me. God has said, I want you to give that up, but we will not. And then God has to burn up the barley field. Now, what is this barley field to us? Now, by the way, this barley field is something that is precious to us. It is something of value to us. In what, when is necessary, God sometimes sends the fires of sickness to burn up our health and strength to make us lean on the Lord. Do you know what? Every one of us here, every one of us, including myself, we are proud, we are arrogant, and we want to be independent of God. We're born a rebel. We're born with a rebel heart. A heart that says, God, I don't need you. I don't need to pray. I don't need to seek your face. I don't need to obey your commandments. I don't need to go to the house of the Lord. That's how we are born. We have a rebel heart, and we struggle with that rebel heart. But oh God, in His love, He afflicts us. And God says, child, I love you. But you are so self-centered. And you are so self-confident. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to afflict your body. And in that time, you're going to call unto me. Often God may send the fire of loss to us to burn up our accounts and possessions to turn us to our Savior. You see, God knows what our eyes are on today. God knows what idols are in our heart. God knows what things that we are really worshiping rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes God burns those things up. He brings about loss and suffering so that we come to Him and say, oh God, God, I'm sorry I've wavered from you. Lord, you've got my attention now. Well, I'll tell you, I have seen where God has done this to many people. My own father, who I love and respect dearly. My own father, I've seen where God has burned up a barley field in my dad's life. And my dad has received the admonition from the Lord. He has received the affliction from the Lord. I know of men right now, tonight, that are saved because God burned up a barley field in their life and got their attention. I know of families where God burned up a barley field in the death of a loved one and God got their attention. You see, brethren, you may think, well, Pastor, I don't understand this. This does not seem as a loving father. But, brethren, in love, God sends the fires. It may be the fire of even something in our life that we could have never imagined, but God says to us, well, I've got your attention now. I never wanted to do this. Brethren, if your barley field is smoldering this morning, then it may be time for you to lift your eyes to the Lord and to go to God and say, God, what is it? You've got my attention now. Lord, show me what is in my life. Oh, brethren, when God burns your barley field, He afflicts in love. Number two, when God burns your barley field, He awakens our true need. Now, can I say this to you? When Absalom burned up the barley field of Joab, it wasn't that he needed Joab's field to be burned. He needed to see Joab. You see, whatever it takes, When the Lord burns our barley field, we must come to the Lord Jesus. We must fall on our face before Him and say, "Oh God, I've suffered loss, Lord. Why is this here?" And you say, "Well, Pastor, is it wrong to ask God why?" No, not if we're asking God to show us what is wrong in our hearts. Now, by the way, if you think, "Well, how dare a God in heaven burn up something in our life? How dare a God in heaven take something from us?" Well, brethren, before you get upset about that, I want you to know that everything that you and I have belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every barley field in your life, everything that is precious to you, everything that is of value to you, is from God to your hand. God has given us all of our barley fields. He has given us, in fact, Job. Do you remember Job? Had Job sinned against God? No. Was Job out of fellowship with God? No. In fact, God said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth?" But even Job recognized in chapter 1 and verse 21, he said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You see, what God wants to do is, in the midst of our burning up of the barley field, God wants to awaken you and me to our real need. What is your need? You want the barley field to be replaced? Is that your need? You want to get over the sickness? Is that the need? If you want to recover from the loss, is that the need? The need is to be in His presence. And what Absalom wanted is to see his daddy. That's all that he desired. He said, "I want your presence here. And I'll burn up a barley field if I have to." Well, in righteous love for you and me, God burns up our fields in love. He owns everything, and He can take whatever He chooses to take, because God never makes a mistake. Listen, what is your barley field this morning? What is it, if you saw it going up in flames, you would drop to your knees and say, "Oh God, what do you want me to do with my life?" You know, when I read the pages of Scripture, yeah, let's talk about Lot for a second. Do you know that Lot, the Bible says, that he lifted up his eyes and he saw the well-watered plains of Sodom. Now, Lot had no business going to Sodom. And God knew that he would lose his whole family. So guess what God did for Lot? You find in chapter number, when you go to Genesis, you will find in chapter number 13, you know what's going to happen to Lot? Lot's already moved into Sodom. He is there. His family has not been affected yet, but they're going to see things and hear things that they should never see and hear. He's going to lose his wife and his children, but Lot can't see that. So guess what God does? God burns up his barley field. You know what happens? Kings come in and take Lot and his family for ransom. He loses everything. He loses all his goods. He loses everything. I mean, he's a prisoner now. God burned up his barley field. Well, guess what? Oh, Abraham. I kind of like Abraham. He got his servants together and said, "I don't care. We don't have to be trained." And they went in there and they did battle and they delivered Lot and his family. But they went right back to Sodom. You see, God burned up the field. God was trying to get Lot's attention there. God was saying, "Lot, I love you, but you're going to wreck and ruin your life. You have no business being here. And I'm going to send a war. And I'm going to get your attention." You know what? I've met people at the hospital before in a time of tragedy. I had a man some time ago look at me. And I came there and his son had had an accident. This man was away from God. And he looked at me with tears streaming down his face and he said, "Pastor, God's got my attention. I need to get back in church. I need to get back to doing what God wants me to be doing." Boy, he was sincere. But when the son got better, he didn't follow the Lord. I wonder what next barley field God is going to have to burn up. I wonder what else God is going to have to bring. But look here, let's not look at others. Let's look at yourself and let's look at myself today. And let's say, "God, what are you going to have to do to get our attention?" Because God's wisdom is beyond our wisdom and His love is something that you and I could never really imagine. But in love, He afflicts us in love. But brethren, He awakens us to our need. Your need and my need is to be found at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what your need today is? Look, whatever you think your need is, if it's not Jesus, you're not thinking right about your need. You say, well, I just need relief in my marriage. That's not your need. Well, I just need finances. If I had a certain amount of money, I could pay my bills off and I'd get back in church and do what God wants me to do. It'll never happen. That's not your need. My need is physical, and my need is I need health, and I'm praying for that. Your need today and my need today is to be found at the feet of Jesus Christ in humility, in surrender, saying to the Lord, God, what wilt thou have me to do? That's your need. That's my need. I think about Lot. I think about Abraham. Do you know that even Abraham, God had called him to leave Ur of the Chaldees and to go out into a land that he did not know. But if you look at Genesis chapter 12, the Bible says in the verse first, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. Did you know that God had already told him that, but he didn't leave? Guess what happened? God burned up a barley field. His daddy Terah died. I don't think Abraham would have ever left his country, would have ever left his family, unless God had to say, Abraham, I love you. I've got too much planned for you. Abraham, I'll make you a father of many nations. Abraham, I'm going to be a blessing to your family, and I've got so much planned for you. But I'm going to have to take daddy home. I'll have to burn up a barley field to get your attention. I think about other men in God's word. Do you remember Joseph's brothers? Do you know that they had lived in unconfessed sin for years? They were still living with the deceit and the lie that their brother had been killed by some ferocious animal. You remember they came back with the shirt all ripped up and blood on it and saying, Dad, we found this. We don't know what happened. And they deceived their father. For years they lived like that. But guess what God did? God burned up the barley field and he sent a famine. And guess what they got to do now? They got to go to Egypt. They've got to get some food now. They've got to meet Joseph face to face. They've got to deal with their sin. They've got to get it right. Because God in love said, I love you too much to let you live in unconfessed sin. Your lives are miserable. Your life is never going to be what I want it to be. So I'm going to burn up the barley field. I think about Jonah and the whale. You know the story. Take your Bibles, in fact, and go to Jonah chapter number 2, because I want to show this to you. Now, Jonah's in the Bible. It's not just a name. It's actually a chapter in there, all right, a book. If you go to the book of Matthew and go back probably 30, 40 pages, you'll find the book of Jonah. While you're turning there, remember Naomi and Elimelech. Do you know that Naomi and Elimelech got away from God because God burned up their barley field? Now, I'm going to tell you this. It's possible for you and me that when God burns up our barley field, we get mad at God. And God is doing it in love to get our attention. God is doing it in love to bring us back to Himself and on our face before the Lord in humility and Christ's likeness before the Lord. But guess what Naomi and Elimelech did? They left. They went to a heathen land where they should have never went. God sent a famine in that area because the people are away from God. And God was trying to awaken them to their real need. Their real need wasn't food. Their real need was God. Their real need was getting back in fellowship with God and be obedient to the Lord. But guess what Naomi and Elimelech did? They left. And guess what happened? God sent another burning of the barley field. And Elimelech died. And Naomi's two sons died. You know what she said when she came back into the land? Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. She said, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. She said, look, I left. I got out of fellowship with God because He sent the burning of the barley field to me to awaken me to my need. But I went deeper in sin. You see, brethren, this morning, God in His love disciplines us. God in His love afflicts us. God in His love allows sorrow and trials to us. He burns up something that's precious and valuable to us to awaken us. Keeps you awake at night to where you're on your face before God and saying, God, search me, O God, and know my heart and try me and know my thoughts. You see, that's where God wants us. But listen, brother, it'll never happen unless God burns up the barley field. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every time God said, come, we went to the Lord? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every time the Lord said, this is wrong in your life, if we confessed it and forsook it, and then we would have mercy from the Lord? But oh, we're just like Joab. God calls, we don't answer. God calls, we do not answer. And then God says, I'm going to do something in love. Jonah, chapter number 2. And I want you to notice this. Remember Jonah? He did not want to go preach to those people, the Ninevites. Now, if you understand something about history, you will know that Jonah hated those people because they had killed probably his own family. And he hated them. But he got on that ship. And what did God send? A storm. God burned up the barley field. And they knew. And Jonah said, you got to throw me overboard, because you're not going to make it and I'm not going to make it. God is dealing with me. God said, I've got to awaken Jonah to his need. And they threw him overboard and it stopped. You know the story. The giant fish, the whale, came and swallowed up Jonah. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hadst cast me into the deep. In the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Do you know what Jonah said right there? God threw me into the sea. Now, wait a minute. Who threw Jonah overboard? It was the men. He told them to throw him overboard. But he was saying, God did it. God was behind it. God did it to awaken me to my need. And brethren, there is a God in heaven who loves you and me. And he cares for us. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, he'll burn up your barley field to awaken you to your need of salvation. That without Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity in a place called hell forever. But brethren, if you're here and you are saved, but you're away from God, he'll burn up the barley field. He'll afflict you in love to awaken you to your need to be at his feet, to be in humility, to be in obedience to our Heavenly Father. For therein is our blessing. Therein is the peace and the joy that we must have. Oh, I could go on and on as we think about men and women alike. Brethren, if you're out of God's will this morning, don't wait until he burns your barley field. Come to Jesus this morning. I'm reminded of the prodigal. You know, the prodigal never probably would have come back. But what did God do to the prodigal? He burned up his barley field. He got hungry. Can you imagine? Now, I don't tell you this. I don't like to be around hogs. They stink, all right? They smell bad. Have you ever been around a hog farm before? Raise your hand. I won't tell you this. It don't smell good, that's for sure, all right? And sometimes we're traveling about and we'll go close to a hog farm. My kids, you know, will say, Dad, what in the world is that? You know? We know what it is, a hog farm. Well, the prodigal, guess where he found himself? Oh, he went out full, did he not? He went out with all kinds of money and he had all kinds of friends. And boy, he was living the dream, was he not? But then he ran out of money. He ran out of friends. And he was eating what the hogs were eating. And finally, the Bible says he came to himself. You know what happened? God awakened him. God woke him up. And God said, buddy, I'm going to give you a burning of the barley field. I'm taking everything good from you. And finally, he lifted up his eyes and his heart and he said, I'm going back home to Daddy. I'm going to get right with him. Listen, brethren, there's a God in heaven who loves you and me too much to let our barley fields remain while we stay far away from him. You see, brethren, in trouble, what does God do for us? In trouble, God bears his very heart to us. He comforts us as a mother would comfort her own child. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, suffering saints are generally the most flourishing saints. And well they may be, for they are in Jesus' special care. You see, sometimes God doesn't burn up our barley field out of judgment or out of chastening. God does everything out of love, and He does everything in righteousness and wisdom. He doesn't make a mistake. Sometimes God burns up the barley field just to bring us close to Him, just to bring us near to Him, to make us more like Him, to lead us in the right path, to direct us in the right path. You see, we have a God in heaven who awakens us to our need. Brethren, you and I would never seek God on our own. It is Him that seeks after us, and He awakens us to our real need. Number three, the last thing. When God burns your barley field, He afflicts in love. He awakens you to your real need. But number three, He appoints His purpose and His plan. Take your Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And I want to show this to you. All of your trouble and all of my trouble, all of our sorrow, all of our heartaches, all of our disappointments are apportioned to you by divine wisdom. As for their number, have you ever thought before, Lord, I cannot handle one more thing? The God who weighs the mountains and who weighs the waters in His own hand will not give us one more thing that He has not appointed for us. You ever heard someone say, well, God won't give you more than you can handle, you know? I've heard that all my life. It's not a very true statement. But the true statement is, God will only give you what He has appointed for you. Do you know that nothing comes to you and me, but first it goes to the loving hands of our Heavenly Father? We may say, God, I don't like this. But God says, I'm sorry, but you need this. You may say, God, I don't like my barley field has been burned. I know I love you, but I want you to be near to me. And I'm going to have to lead you and direct you. And I'm going to do something that may seem hurtful, but I'm doing it out of love. And all of us here could come up here and we could say, we could give testimony after testimony of how God worked through trials and God worked through sufferings. And He made us more like Him. And He made us more in His image. And now we can look back. As the psalmist said in Psalm 119, he said, now, he said, I can rejoice that God has afflicted me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, I want you to notice this verse here, what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 15. The Bible says this, for all things are for your sakes. Would you take a pen and underline that little phrase, all things are for your sakes. Now, what did God say? Some things? The big things? No, God said all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Do you ever feel like fainting? Do you ever feel like giving up and quitting? God says all things are for your sakes. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Can I tell you this morning? You know, we think about Fanny Crosby. You know, we sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Oh, all kinds of songs that she wrote. But when she was a child, just a baby, the doctor who was a visiting doctor, he was not the normal doctor. He took the wrong solution. And he put it in Fanny Crosby's eyes, causing her to be blind. She was born with sight. But God burned up her barley field. And we thank God. A little baby? God, why? But oh, Fanny Crosby in her life, she said, I'm so thankful that the doctor put the wrong solution in my eyes. I am thankful that God caused me to be blind because the first person I will ever see is Jesus Christ. And we would not have the songs that she has written. We would not be blessed. Could it be that God is burning your field up to help someone else? Could it be that God is burning your field up in your life? I know of a man years ago back in Illinois. His family were all lost without Jesus Christ. He had 5 children. And one day, as they were sitting at a stop sign, this was the day before seatbelts, someone rear-ended them. And the little baby, their little baby sitting in the front seat in the arms of mama, left the arms of mama in that accident and went through the windshield, killing that little baby. That family was a Catholic family, lost, very dedicated to the Catholic Church. But it was during that time that God awakened him. He couldn't find the answers in the Catholic Church. He couldn't find the answers from the priest. He only found the answer in Jesus Christ. And that man and his whole entire family and his children's children and his grandchildren come to know Jesus Christ because God in his love burned up our barley field. Can I tell you this today? If God is speaking to you, you ought to run to this altar. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't come running, you may have to come limping. You see, brethren, God, he works in our lives. He sends his agents of invitations to us. We don't see them as invitations. We see them as heartache and we see them as sorrow and trials. But God sends us those things to humble us and to bring us before him, to bring us on our knees to where we will seek God once again. Oh, there was something that took place in my family growing up that a preacher looked at me one day and I was away from God. I wasn't serious about the things of God. And he said, Aaron, it is time for you to seek God's face. It is time for you to get serious about the things of God. And I remember that night burying my head on my bed and praying to God and saying to him, God, here's my life. You have gotten my attention. Oh, listen, when God burns your barley field, he does it in love. He does it in care. Brethren, you are richer this morning if you have lost a barley field, but you have found the God of the harvest. Amen. And today, let's run to him. What is God speaking to your heart about right now? Then the invitation is come to Jesus. Come to him. You're here without Jesus Christ. You don't know where you would go if you died. Come to him today. Let us take God's word and show you how to be saved. If you're here and the Lord is putting his finger on something in your life, come. Let's bow our heads in prayer.